This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
All right, welcome back to the Survival of Basic Badass Podcast. Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk about shooting ranges. We're going to talk about actually getting out and practicing with your guns. First, I have to preface this with my wife said, nobody wants to hear about guns. All you talk about is guns. Nobody cares that you're building a shooting range in the backyard, and nobody cares about guns. And I was like, well, I think that all the people who listen to the podcast, if they didn't like guns, they would have left by now. Mm-hmm. And that may be. I mean, maybe we would have had five times the audience. But just the same, I feel like, you know, we could tough it out, right? We could all. She was like, Kevin doesn't like guns. Nobody likes guns. I'm like, she's like, it's not all about you. And I'm like, isn't it, though?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, isn't it our podcast, and we can just do whatever we want? Maybe she should mind her own business.
Oh, well, I do.
Don't tell her I said that. I'm scared of your wife.
No, yeah, that's I do know we've gotten a fair amount of emails saying you should let Kevin talk more, and I'm like, I didn't even think anybody knew the difference between the two of us. You know,
yeah, I just assumed that they knew that there are two people here and couldn't tell the difference between the two, but whatever. It is what it is. So today we're talking about firing ranges, and this is a somewhat interesting topic for me because I feel that we spend a lot of time encouraging people to own firearms, but I don't feel like you should own a firearm if you don't know how to use it. If you don't do a little bit of practice, if you don't do a little bit of taking that gun out and going through a few rounds, you shouldn't own a gun because you're going to end up shooting yourself or shooting one of your kids accidentally instead of
shoot your eye out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're going to shoot your eye out. I mean, seriously, though, I think that everybody in the United States should own a firearm and should know how to use it. But those are two things. You know what I mean? I don't feel like if you're not planning on going out and using your firearm and practicing and figuring out how to use it, how to load it, how to operate it, then you shouldn't be carrying one around with you. You shouldn't have one in your house if you're not comfortable enough to know how to use it properly and safely. And I think that's kind of a big deal in the sense that, you know, I see a lot of rednecks doing dumb redneck shit with guns, and they're giving us all a bad name. You know what I mean?
And was I that redneck? I mean, I don't know who you're seeing, but all right. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, but I feel like when they sell exploding targets and things like that, I mean, they're just inviting me to go out and have a good time.
That's right.
I'm always conflicted with, you know, they always say, you're not supposed to mix alcohol and guns. And you see those memes that are like, well, you should train like you fight, right? And I'm like, well, that's a good point.
Yeah, and it used to be in shooting competitions, alcohol was considered the same. It was like the same thing as taking steroids for a weightlifting competition. Because it loosens you up, man. You're a little bit better. See, but there's a tipping point where the alcohol gets a little bit too far and things start going downhill. It's like shooting pool, you know? One or two beers and you get a lot better at pool, but after about three or four, things start going downhill.
Yeah. We always, when I was a kid, we used to go to, they had a bunch of pool halls and that was like actually a thing. So that's how old I am. You know, it's like Tom Cruise would be hanging out, you know, right. That kind of thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Paul Newman or whoever, I don't even know who it was. Anyway, and we used to go to this one pool hall where they had all, you know, big normal 8-foot tables or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go to this other pool hall that had all the smaller, like 6.5, I don't know what the sizes are, but they had the full size table and the smaller table. And we'd go out and, you know, we'd play for an hour or two on the 8-foot. And then we'd go to the place with the 6-foot and you'd go in and just like dominate. And I don't know how, if it's psychological or what, but all of a sudden, you know, you're like the king. It's like, oh, these are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so maybe that's the thing. Maybe I got distracted. I don't know. A little. Who knows? Anyway, so. Shooting ranges, gun ranges. It turns out if you practice, you can be better. And that's a thing. And it's kind of like those things where, like with fighting, right? Where if you know a little bit that, and you do a little bit of practice, it somehow puts you like light years ahead of everybody else who does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing. Now, if you're going against a bunch of real serious shooters, and we'll say even the arm, the military, whatever, then, you know, they probably have a little bit of practice also. Then you need to step up your game even more. You know, it depends who you're kind of going against. But you got to realize guns are dangerous, and at any time things could end badly. Obviously, you're in control. It's like a car. A car is dangerous, and it could end badly, but yeah, you know, it's not likely. You're not going to not go to the store because, oh, well, I might be in an accident and the car will just fly off the road and into a tree. No, probably not. You know, I mean, that's the thing. So, you know, take everything in perspective with a grain of salt. But that said, let's find out how we can get some practice.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, there's a couple options. Now, the dream option. Well, I guess the dream option is an indoor shooting range at your house. That's the go-to, right? But even somebody as awesome as I am can't quite pull that one off. Now, I know Nugent has just like a hallway in his basement or something where he shoots his bow. And he's doing bow shooting in his, you know, inside his house. Now, that's an option. As far as the gun range, it gets a little more substantial. You got noise issues, and the number one expense for indoor range, I would say, is going to be ventilation. It's always about ventilation. I know they built a nice indoor range in where Kevin lives, and that was the big thing. They were like, we don't know if we can, you know, afford the ventilation. I mean, it was a huge, you know, expense and such a big deal to do it. So it's something to consider. So anyway, I'm going to assume that's kind of off the table for us. Just if you can afford it, there's lots of systems out there and professionals out there to help you out with, I mean, a quick Google search and you'll see all kinds of ventilation setups for, you know, shooting indoors. And maybe I would recommend suppressed weapons, which again, kind of keep a lot of gas and stuff kind of right in your face. So, you know, who knows? Anyway, I digress. Next, number two, we have your own private gun range. Now, this may be that you have 10 acres and you have some logs set up and you can go out and shoot it and have a nice little backstop. And that's great. And that's a good starting point. I've been working with that on my property for a while where, you know, I just stacked up a bunch of logs and, but I don't feel comfortable going past, we'll say, I don't know, 25 to 50 yards at the most. I feel comfortable with me at 50 yards, but when I bring new shooters over, I kind of want them at that like 25 yard range because, you know, I didn't have that big of a backstop and you don't know where those bullets are going to end up. And, you know, and it's not limitless woods behind my house, although it is pretty significant. Not all my land, but, you know, there's woods beyond my property, obviously. The next thing is to step up your game even more and create your own shooting lane. Now, what I did, I actually had like a wooded kind of unused section of the property where it seemed like that was going to be my answer. And I figured I could get away with 100 yards. And to be honest, I have enough open field that I could go back and do probably 200 yards. But I have kind of a designated 100 yard, you know, area that's just for that. And what I did, I just went through, I really started doing it by hand and it was some work. I went through with the chainsaw. I cut everything that was a decent size. And there are lots of guys who will come out for actually pretty reasonable price and clear land for you and kind of make a road. I mean, I know I could get a guy out here for like a day for like $1,200 with, you know, a big land clearing equipment. Now, $1,200 is a lot of money, but they can do a lot of work. So, you know, that's up to you. So anyway, what I did was as I went through, I cut all the logs of all the trees all the way through, and I ended up using them to basically make a backstop. And then I was thinking about maybe just tires, bringing in a bunch of tires. There's always people seem like they want to get rid of tires. Now, you do end up being stuck with a bunch of tires that if you change your mind and don't want a gun range, you may have to get rid of a lot of stuff that you don't want. And then you kind of open yourself up to a nightmare, but maybe not. So anyway, that was my plan. And then it ended up, I ended up getting a tractor. And when I got the tractor, you know, full on, you know, go in, clear the road, and I built a huge berm in the back, and where it's about, I would say about 30 feet wide and between 7 and 10 feet high. And what I did was I actually curled it kind of like a C shape almost around the outside, so that way I could set up a target and I wouldn't have to worry about bullets ricocheting and that kind of thing off steel targets, that kind of stuff. Now, my experience has been when you hit the targets, the bullets drop. They pretty much just go straight down because the steel targets just really take that ton of impact. But I didn't want any, you know, weird thing. You hit the bolt at the top of the target and it deflects off the steel and shoots off sideways or, you know, who knows what. I just wanted to cover all my options. Now, how big of a berm you need in the back really depends on what's behind it. You know, is there an elementary school, you know, right across the street, you know, off the back there? Well, then you probably need, you know, 12 foot, something like that, something more substantial. Obviously, too, you know your shooting abilities. I wanted it to be where I was comfortable, where I could go sight in a gun that had never been touched, things that I didn't, you know, couldn't really count on. And, you know, I would be covered kind of any scenario. So I wanted it to build it high enough where I would feel safe about it and, you know, things like that. So again, something to keep in mind and do. What I did was I made like a stockade fence with the logs and then ended up just pushing the dirt, you know, right into it. Now, I ended up taking actually two years to do it. So two full summers, especially out there with the tractor. Whenever I had time, I was digging. So the idea was I was able to dig like a road kind of down almost like 2 feet in certain spots. So one, I'm shooting down at an angle, and two, there's kind of a raised, you know, path all on either side. I kind of figured if it filled up with water, it would be like the, what is that, that long lake in DC, the looking, the, I don't know.
The reflecting pond. Yeah.
The reflecting pond. There you go. I kind of figured if it filled up with water, I'd have my own reflecting pond. That hasn't been the case yet. There hasn't been any big water. Although I do find that where water does puddle in it, the deer like to come in and drink. And I'm like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Because
they're already sighted.
I always find that the footprints, I know the distance. I got my, you know, a nice safe backstop. Everything's great. So that's one, you know, another. Now, to me, 100 yards is excellent for, you know, your typical rifle shooting. Usually when I sight something in, I like to set it for 100 and then make adjustments after that, you know, to my scope. But I kind of want everything. That 100 yards, you usually only have about a minute of, an inch of drop in the bullet as you shoot. So it kind of is your safe go-to distance to sight in a weapon. You know, again, every gun is different. I was referring to 5.56, but you know, your typical stuff, 100 yards is a good, accurate, you know, place to start. Anyway, so 100 yards, it seemed to work for me. Honestly, a lot of your combat shooting and stuff is going to be between 25 and 50 yards. I think 50 is a very reasonable, you know, rifle kind of situation. And I think 25 is very reasonable for a handgun situation. So what I did is I actually set up targets and I just ran a cable across the road there, basically at 100 yards, at 50 yards, and at 25 yards. And I have it with a like an eye ring and a carabiner, and I can just undo it and drop them down so I can kind of choose the distance that I want to be at and not have to, you know, really mess around. That was, you know, again, my way of doing it. Now, paper targets are great and easy, and you don't have to worry about the bullets deflecting off. There's just something satisfying about 100 yards and shooting at steel targets, just that you get that ping and you know you hit it, you know you're good. I don't have to look at a spotting scope or anything. Usually I'm shooting without any magnification. So to see that 100 yards is a little tricky to see the little hole in a piece of paper. So I find the steel to be satisfying. What I did was the thicker dog cables. You know, they at Lowe's, they sell like the large breed dog, you know, run ties. And because that cable has that plastic outer coating and it's pretty decent thick. I ran that across and my wife had got me, I have a bunch of steel targets, that AR-500, you know, your typical. But they came with, it basically looks like cut tire rubber straps. You know, they're like foot long strips out of a tire, and they have a bolt. So it goes around the cable, and then you bolt it to hang it in place. You do actually, those steel targets, you need something substantial to hold them. I've tried, like, I thought I'd get away with the wire I use for electric fence, and I thought that would work. Ended up, I couldn't even get through a magazine without blowing that steel target right off the, off the wire. So you need to go a little beefier, and maybe something with a little give on it, you know, is nice. A lot of people will set up a catchment for the bullets to drop underneath. That's how I know that they typically fall down, is because I've had a buddy of mine has like a 55-gallon drum underneath his targets where he cut it in half. And we go out and you can collect all the lead afterward. It's just like fills it right up. It's kind of crazy. Keep in mind, bullets are made of lead, and think about the land that you're shooting on. And, shooting a bullet here and there, not a problem. But if you're, shooting thousands and thousands of rounds, putting all that lead in the ground, is it right next to your well? Is it right next to, where you're growing food? Just keep it in mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying you need to get crazy. I've never really heard other people worry about it, but I think about these things. I'd rather not, throw a ton of lead in the ground. Now, if it's 100 yards away from anything you're doing and whatever, I probably wouldn't worry about it. But something to keep in mind.
Now, when it comes to building your own range, you got to ask yourself a few questions before you start setting up. Not just can you, but may you build your own range? There's a lot of laws about it. So you want to be conscientious before you start putting a bunch of effort into it. Are you in city limits? Do you have state regulations about where you can and cannot shoot? Do you have county or city ordinances that are going to dictate what you can and can't do on your property? Well, it's the United States government. So yes, there's probably some bullshit that they're trying to make you do or not allow you to do because the government hates you. So you have to kind of do a little bit of research before you get to work there.
And what I would say is you have to do some research before you buy your property.
Yeah, that's also important. I know the cops have come to my house a few times. And because I like to... in the backyard, sometimes I like to set off firecrackers, which are kind of illegal, but not really illegal. The police will just tell you to stop if you're setting off firecrackers in your backyard. So just be aware that you might have an asshole neighbor that wants to call the cops on you over firecrackers, if that's what is happening in your backyard. You might have neighbors that are super excited about it when I come over and shoot at your range. Well, that's even better because then, like I used to say, if you're going to throw a big house party, invite your neighbors, then they're not going to call the cops on you. It kind of goes the same way with a firing range. If you have neighbors that, that like that sort of thing and, want to come over and be nosy assholes, maybe invite them to participate. So just something to keep in mind. If you're out in the middle of nowhere, that's great. That's awesome. But if you do have some neighbors around you, you have to be conscientious. Don't be out shooting your gun at 2 a.m. I know you've been out drinking all night and you want to just fire off a couple of rounds before bed. I'm all for that. Go for it. But just be conscientious of what you're up to and who's around you when you're doing it.
Now, Kevin, we're supposed to say drinking and guns are bad. They don't mix.
They don't mix. Right.
Drinking and firearms.
So
no.
This leads up to my next point. It's imperative. It's important that you have some sort of a medical bag with you when at your range, either at your range on site or something you carry with you, because it's possible to get a little owie when you're firing at steel plates sometimes. And
having a trauma bag is a good idea.
Yeah, having something with you is important because you don't want to be the asshole that let somebody bleed out on your range because you didn't know what to do and you started panicking. So having a trauma bag is definitely important. Having an idea of how to stop bleeding is important. Having some basic skills, how to use your trauma bag, that's important stuff. So just keep that in mind when you're setting up your range. Now, Chuck touched on this a minute ago about what's downrange when you're setting up your range. You know, what's beyond your targets? Even if you have a good size embankment and a good size, stop at the end of your range, what, you know, you have to be conscientious of is there a nursery school on the other side? Is it just woods? Are there more, ridges and backstops behind your backstop that would stop a bullet eventually? You have to be conscientious of what's behind what you're shooting at, just like in any normal situation with a firearm.
That sounds completely logical. I know that if people who offer classes and training at gun ranges, it's very common to actually subscribe for, you can pay for like a life flight service where you can kind of have that helicopter insurance on standby to come medevac somebody out of there. That's pretty awesome feature. Turns out that's not as expensive as you think because they don't figure it will actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so something to look into if it's more than just you. It's not going to pay for itself if it's just for your backyard and you're like, hey, I never know. But it might pay for itself if you're, kind of having a public range. I actually live in one of the great states where we actually have laws that say no law shall be made that limits the ability to shoot in the state.
Nah.
All right. So, there's different ways. Now, it has certain exceptions, but like basically they were like, there are these laws and anything beyond that, that's a no-go. So not everybody has to live in New York and California is all I'm saying. We try not to limit progress is what I say. I do know the, town next to me though, you can't even have freaking, two chickens or something. And one of the guys, they just had a big horse farm property up for sale and, it's in the city limits, whatever. The guy's got 15 acres. And he planned on putting cows there. And they were like, oh, no, you can't have cows. And he's like, but it was a horse farm. And they were like, yeah, that was grandfathered in. And if you don't have horses within 6 months, then you can't have horses.
It's not a horse farm anymore.
It's not even a horse farm. And he's like, so basically his whole property, it's not even like per acre or anything. His 15 acres, he's allowed to have like 4 hens.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's it. And I'm like, man, And like a lot of them, the city ordinances will be like, well, you can have this if you, if you have 5 acres or more, then you can have chickens or whatever inside the city or, whatever. But apparently that's not the case here. But luckily that's a different county than I'm in. And the one that I'm in, they're kind of like down for whatever. They're actually, just like the no gun limitations. There's also no limitations on agriculture and farm stands and, all this stuff. You can build a building for farming purposes without a permit and all this, just any of this. It's just, they don't want to get in the way of agriculture. So it's kind of different. Anyway, so now maybe you do live in one of these cities and you don't have access to building your own gun range, or maybe you just don't have any property. Maybe you're not planning on putting down roots. Maybe you haven't, you know, you're not an old, you know, man like myself, where I've spent, you know, time saving pennies away to be able to buy a piece of property. You know, I didn't have that at 25. I didn't have that at 30. You know, it takes time to get to the place where you can afford some property. Now, I did make choices in life that put me in a place where land would be a little bit more affordable and things like that. And that's because I decided what was important to me and I made choices to go a certain way. You know, my kids cry about, oh, the internet connection's crappy. I can't send in my college classwork because we have horrible internet out in the country. Well, yeah. Yeah, so be it, you know. I don't even think cable is an option where I live. So that's something, you know, that there are sacrifices, you know. It can't all be rainbows and sunshine. With that, can I interest you in joining a gun club? Gun clubs, typically, I see a lot have different rates for, like, if you'll, you know, serve at the gun club versus the price for a member who doesn't do anything. Like that, you'll like spend time being the range master or spend time, you know, cleaning up stuff or clearing a field. Or I know my buddy's gun range, they just do like summer projects, you know, where they'll have like 2 weeks a year where they're doing stuff. And you maybe can just give up a Saturday or, you know, a Sunday or something. And you go in and they put down 8 hours. And I think he has to do like 40 hours a year, but he gets like half off the price if you don't do any, you know, helping out. Mm-hmm. So just something to keep in mind. There's different ways to finance it like that. So there is a lot of good gun clubs out there. There is other options where maybe you and a bunch of buddies, you know, maybe you make a Facebook group, start talking to people, or, you know, hang out at the gun store, put up a sign, see if you can get a bunch of people to go in on a piece of property. Maybe you can buy 2 acres on the edge of town or 10 acres on the edge of town to set something up. I know by Kevin, there's a long range shooting range that's like just in, it's just a field in the middle of nowhere. And they just charge like, you know, $30 a month for something to, you know, to go and use it. And it's not that big a deal. That's something you might want to look into setting up if it doesn't already exist. Now, what fascinates me is there's something called gun tree clubs, but maybe it's just in my imagination, because when I Googled it, I found about 4 of them. So they're not like the big widespread thing, or maybe they're kept on the down low. What a gun tree club is think country club for gun owners. And I don't know why we're not building these everywhere. Basically what it is, you know, like I said, the whole country club idea, couple shooting ranges. I know some of them are set up like animal preserves, where by being an animal preserve, we preserve it so we can go hunting on it. I'm not really sure how that fits in society's idea of preserve, but, you know, whatever. I know a lot of gun clubs will have ponds and different things with actually fishing sites, and they'll stock the ponds and that kind of stuff. So you can kind of work that in. Seems like guys who like hunting, like fishing, they seem to go together a little bit. Something like that. But my point is, you could maybe get together and start something like this. You know, you could build something bigger in your community if you're limited on the one way. And again, a lot of times, just like with rental properties and different stuff, maybe if you don't have the cash, maybe you have the time and effort to put into it. And, you know, people will, you know, maybe be able to work out a deal with you. Then I take it one step further, and maybe those don't work out. Maybe you have no money, no property, or you're just really limited on time or where you can get to, or your area. Maybe you live in New York City, but even New York City, there's places you can go shoot. But maybe you live somewhere where you don't have access to, you know, a range like that. The other thing, there's a bunch of great companies out there. Like the one I like is iTarget. And what they have is they have where you can actually use, they give you like a bullet that you put into your gun, and you'll select the right caliber when you order it. And it has a backstop, and you shoot at it, and you actually are firing your firearm at a target inside your house. And, you know, it basically utilizes your cell phone to, you know, it'll make noises and show you where your hits are, and give you a little map of how, you know, how you're reacting. It's great for upping your speed, your draw time, and accuracy. So things like that are definitely on the table and something you could, you know, look into. But basically, my point is, the whole reason we did this episode is it's not just about getting guns. It's not just about bullets. It's about go out, get the stuff, use it. One, enjoy nature. Get out and enjoy life. Embrace the world, but also learn some skills, you know? Learn to actually protect yourself. Just having a gun is not enough. You need to practice. You need to put some time in. You need to throw some lead downrange and, you know, get used to it, get comfortable with it, and get your family comfortable with it. You know, take the wife out, take the kids out, let them shoot, let them get comfortable so it's not a scary, terrifying thing, but a familiar tool. You know, you're not terrified when you get in your car and go for a drive. And that's because you're used to it and it's familiar and you know what to expect. Well, the same thing with firearms. In all seriousness, probably drinking and firearms are a no-go. But, you know, get out and have a good time. Turns out you can have a good time without alcohol, but it usually does involve explosives and firearms. So you can find another way to go on that. And if you don't live in a state where you have exploding targets, maybe that's something you need to rectify also. Also, I would say suppressors should be on the table. I'm just saying, you know, if you can quiet it down for your neighbors, I'm just putting that out there.
Hearing protection can get expensive, man.
There you go.
Those little foam things that go in your ear, they start racking up, man. Almost as expensive as ammo.
Now, Kevin, you were saying you were a little overwhelmed with Russia propaganda this week. What's going on?
Yeah, I've been getting into it, man. I've been following this whole thing closely. It's entertaining for me. I know a lot of people are upset by the whole thing, and as you should be. Rape as a weapon of war seems kind of fucking gross, and that's going on a lot. We were talking about a couple weeks ago, talking about how we were on the Zelensky death watch, but man, he's made it somehow. Somehow they haven't got his ass yet. Now I'm starting to think that we might see Putin go before we see Zelensky go. I saw a picture of him recently, and he is looking like shit, man. He's got a doctor following him around, and they're hypothesizing that he's got thyroid cancer, but he's looking awful.
He's being fully poisoned by, they said that his staff was maybe possibly divided a little bit on whether he was making the right call or not.
Yeah, well, it definitely seems so far he really stepped in a pile of shit with this one. Seems like, you know, at this point, he wishes he could take it back, but I think it's a little late when you got all your troops already committed and in another country. You know, they did retreat from Kyiv, and that was something, but to really back down, and I don't know if he's got it in him anymore. I don't think he's he can back out of this one and not look like a real schmo. So that's it, man. Not good. And the new push that they're just starting, I know this podcast won't come out for another week or so, but the new push that they're already starting, it seems like that's already starting to starting to peter out, and they just started last week. So we'll see what happens, man.
We'll see what happens. So if you have thoughts, concerns, things you want to hear about, things you want to tell us about, definitely shoot us an email at preppingbadass@gmail.com. You know, I do see you guys commenting in the Facebook group and saying you're enjoying the podcast. I appreciate that. I want to respond to them, but usually I'm blocked from the thing. I think I violated the group community standards too many times, so I can't even like things in my own group. The only way I get posts in there is I post them to the Facebook page, and then I share them into the group. Somehow it lets me do that.
Okay.
I haven't figured out how I can do that and not make comments, but no, I read all your stuff in there. I appreciate it. I know you guys are, enjoying it, and I like it. We try and, keep it entertaining and put stuff out that you guys are interested in. Sometimes tough to come up with some fresh ideas, but I know you got a lot of good things out there. So keep us posted, and we will try and keep moving in the right direction. So with that, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.